Okay, we are on the third of the triplet of God's will for us. You remember the first two? We've done it twice already. First two things. For sure, this is God's will for you. We're not talking about, you know, who should you marry, who should you, you know, where should you go to work and things like that. But this is for everybody for all time. God's will for you. What's the first one?
Rejoice always.
Thank you, Simu. Okay, what was the second one? Pray continually. Okay. And then the third is what we're going to cover today. This is in 1 Thessalonians. If you need to check it out, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16 to 18. 16 is rejoice always. 17, pray continually. And verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. So this is what I want to cover today. Give thanks in all circumstances. First of all circumstances doesn't mean all circumstances. I don't think Paul had in mind is that you just committed adultery and you've been stoned in the public square. And then you go to something, oh, I should give thanks to God for this stoning. No. The other thing, the boundary for this is that if you sin and what you have received, whatever that consequences is, you deserve that. If you sin. Now, the all circumstances is for people who, in this context, is a suffer for this, for their faith. But for us, I think it could be more. If you're Christians, there are many circumstances. You might not suffer for your faith, but there are circumstances. And so that takes a different kind of eyes to understand this. All circumstances. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in today's message. But I feel that we need to zoom out a little bit because there's only three verses here and I made a three sermon. You know, I think we need to zoom out to see the context where these three command comes from. Now, Thessalonica is the second city Paul visit after he crossed the Aegean Sea. And the first city is Philippi, right? And he wrote a letter to Philippi. And it was not a good experience for him. He was put in jail, you know, and you see this in Acts 16. And then the second city that he visited is Thessalonica. And he went over there, he started preaching in the synagogue. In the synagogue. And then there's some people who believe and who follow him. And then there's some, lots of Greek speaking people. I don't know if they're Greek, you know, by birth or they are Greek speaking Jews. It wasn't really clear. But anyway, he has a large following. So that began the church. But just like everywhere a new Christian church start, there are persecutions. There are persecutions. So Paul had to leave very quickly. Paul had to leave quickly from Thessalonica. So he wasn't really sure the faith of this very small church. So he waited for Timothy at Athens. And then once Timothy showed up, he sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to check it out, to see how these Christians are faring. And Timothy come back with a really encouraging report. And this is the letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonian after Timothy come back and gave him the positive report that these Christians, even though they are young, probably just a few months, you know, since their birth, newborn, born again. And they are standing firm in the Lord. So Paul wrote this back to encourage them to stand, continue to stand firm. And then chapter 5, Paul gives instruction. Now you are as Christians, this is how you ought to live. You should live a life that is worthy the gospel. And the context of this, this is the context for chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. It is unique in a sense is that Paul's instruction usually carries about actions, what you ought to do, you know. And this 16, 17, 18 is more had to do with their spirituality. There is more a formation of a divine characters in this Thessalonian. And this is not specifically telling them what to do, but saying that you had to do this all the time, continually, always. You know, it is part of the spiritual formations for all of us as we walk with the Lord. So, first one is right, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that you always rejoice. Rejoice always. Be happy. It's not be dumb and happy. But just be happy, rejoice, because God is with you. God is with you. And then second, that you pray continually. We talk about the challenge of praying continually. But then we discover it is not you who are praying. Basically, it's you who is agreeing with the Holy Spirit who is continually praying for you. With you knowing or not, the Holy Spirit is continuing to pray for you. And when you speak words, is Holy Spirit who inspire you to with words. So basically, you are in agreement with the Spirit. Basically, you are in agreement with the Spirit when you pray. But it is the Spirit who continually pray for you. And so now we come to the third. That you give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances. Now, first question I ask, what do you thank God for? Now, I think in the letter, Paul gave some clue. In chapter 2, verse 13, he says, and we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accept it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. So the takeaway from that verse is that Paul gives thanks to God for his words as the Thessalonians received his words and then changed their lives. So the first thing I think you ought to, when you're thinking about thanking God, is thanking God his words. For his word that is operating in us. We thank God for the transmission of the Bible that comes to you through many martyrs' blood. Come to you. So your Bible is not just somebody who at their living room and write it. The Bible is written in blood and tears. So you thank God for this transmission of the Bible. You thank God for those who deliver the words to you. Thinking about your pastor every Sunday who delivered the words to you. You think about people who gave you the words first, then you came to realize your sinfulness and receive Jesus Christ. These people, thank God for them to deliver these words to you. And also thank God for those people who can write books. You know, there's so many famous people who write books, and then you receive these words from these people. John Piper. Who's that guy in New York? Tim Keller. You know, he was in Virginia too before he ended up in New York. So thank God for these people who brought light to the word. So, and thank God for the propagation of his words. People who take the words to places, dark places, places who never heard of the word of God. So thank God for that. And thank God also the transmission of this word from generations to generations to generations. I don't know what Paul had in mind when he preached the gospel. I don't know if he had ever imagined that Jesus had not come in 2,000 years, and that there is a church continue to preach what he preached, continue to use his letter to encourage each other. But we thank God for this transmission of his words from generation to generation. You know, Psalm 119 we just read today is all about his words, the power, the effectiveness of his words. Now, Psalm 1, everybody can memorize it, right? Recite it from memory, except for me. You know, but I choose that is because it typically shows us the effectiveness of the word. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on this law he meditates day and night. And he is like a tree planted by stream of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prosper. That is the power of the words. Whatever he does, prosper. It doesn't matter what you do. It can be you can be a sanitation worker, but if you have the words and meditate on it, whatever your hand touches, prosper. So that is the power of the words, and we give thanks to God for that words. For that words operating in today's world, operating in your heart, operating in my heart. And we also give God thanks for the understanding of the words. You know, some people who read the same passage has no light and no understanding. But some of you who read the word of God and felt God is speaking to you, you can understand what God is saying. That is giving thanks, a thing to give thanks to God. So, first thing, what do you thank God for? You thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. A second thing, what do you thank God for? We thank God for this. And that's what we remind you every Sunday. You thank God for the great salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. Right? And you thank God that you can see the salvations in Christ. It's not everyone who will see that and receive that. You thank God for that. And you thank God for the hope that we have. We just read the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. And thanking God for that hope is to recognize that hope is real. And that hope fuels your joy and anticipations. You know, the Jewish Passover meal is a remembrance of God's deliverance, right? In the past. And at the end of Passover meal is the phrase, next year in Jerusalem, because they were dispossessed everywhere in the world at that time. For a long time, from 70 AD, there were no Jewish state. Every year after Passover, the phrase is next year in Jerusalem. And for the early church, same thing. After every meal, Passover, man, after every communion meal, after every communion meal is the phrase, come, Jesus, come quickly. That fuels the hope for the early church when they are under stress and under persecutions. Because when Jesus come, he'll make everything well. So that's their hope. That's their hope. So same thing today. We are not living as people without hope. We are living with the people with the future, has an excellent future. You ought to live like that. You have an excellent future. And that is part of the fuel. That's part of the fuel for rejoice always, right? Rejoice always. And also, in chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians 3:9, it's another element of that you can give thanks, what to give thanks to God. 3:9. Now, can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in presence of you, of our God, because of you? How can we thank God enough for you in returning for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? What is that? What is that something that they rejoice, they can thank God for? Is that their Timothy brought in the good report, right? But Timothy, this is verse 6, but Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. So you thank God for, how often do you thank God for your brothers and sisters? You know, especially someone who is significant in your life, in your journey with the Lord. Thank God for them. Thank God for it's not accident. God puts them into right next to you. Maybe in your time of need, they were there. So Paul gives thanks to God for these Thessalonians who stand firm in the Lord. Sometimes we receive messages from people who we have served in the past. You know, some of them come to church and some of them who goes to the fellowship, student fellowships. And a lot of them leave without receiving Jesus. But then we receive news. Sometimes we receive news from them that they have received Christ. And once in a while, then we get a visit from them. They come back and visit us. And that always brings encouragement to us as we see these people. Even though we didn't harvest them when they were here, somebody else did the harvesting. But we give thanks to God. Because some people spread the seed, some people nurture and water it, but it is God who caused them to grow. So we give thanks to God for their growth in Christ. So that's something you can always thank God for. So when we give thanks to God in every detail of life, we begin to see how God works in all things. All circumstances mean seeing God in every aspect of life. And that God is there in good time and challenging time, in season of growth and then season of dryness, in health and in sickness. God is never going in and out of our lives. God does not do that, in and out of our lives. He always there. And for this, we give thanks. So when we see God in every circumstances, giving thanks comes naturally. If you see God in every circumstances, then you can thank God in every circumstances. And then, I think I just want to conclude with this part, is that when to give thanks, when to thank God. You know, it's easy to give thanks to God when everything is well. I think I appreciate the first song. There are times when it doesn't go well, right? That is more challenging to thank God. You know, it's almost like love somebody who is lovely. It's not too hard, right? But to love somebody who is unlovely, it is challenge. And scripture says that too. Jesus said, scripture says that. I don't think Jesus said that. But scripture says that if you love somebody who loves you, what credit is that to you? But if you love somebody who persecutes you because of your faith, for no reason, they just don't like you, they make your life difficult, to love them is what divine love is. And same thing with giving thanks in all circumstances. Also, as we contemplate on giving thanks, most often we say, you give thanks right now because you are under difficult circumstances or difficult challenges, is that you need to give thanks right now because what's happening around you. But I think as we expand that to all circumstances, you begin to see is that there are events that lead you up to current circumstances. And what happened, how you react to it, will dictate your future. You know, I just feel that our life is not like snowflakes. You know, individual coming down from heaven and then melt and disappear. I don't think that's what our life is like. Our life is part of a weather system. As the snow falls, there is a system that is at work. So I think as we thanking God in all circumstances, we have to take a look at that's the life. That's how we look at our lives. Your past takes you to the present. Your present takes you to the future. And they're all connected. They're not individual, random snowflakes. They are part of the weather system that is in your life. So when we talk about what we have is the present, but we need to think more, give God thanks in the events that lead you to this time. Give God thanks of the events that leads to here. And then, if you can project the future, give God thanks for what will come from this present event. You know the story of Paul, right? And in Acts chapter 25, is Paul's last, basically the last journey, how he ended up in Rome. And chapter 27, when Paul was in that ship, in the storm, you guys all know the story. Everybody panic. Everybody say, we're going to perish. And Paul's, all of this, He's a prisoner, remember? He's a prisoner, and he's got guards guarding him. He's the one that got up and asked these people on the ship to calm down, eat something, give prayers to God. That's the one event, right? Right there. But Paul's life is not just that shipwrecking storm. Paul's life, everything he does lead up to that point of prayers for thanksgiving. And if you read the story, you know that Paul began, this is his last trip to Jerusalem, and he went over there to bring relief effort, to relieve money to the saints in Jerusalem. And from there, he was captured in the temple. And then brought before the commanders and the garrison. And then somebody wants to, I mean, there is a conspiracy to kill him. And so I think Paul's nephew found out about it and told the commander in the garrison. So garrison, he had 200 soldiers to guard, to escort Paul from the garrison in Jerusalem to the governor Felix in Caesarea. So he has all these piles of soldiers taking him so that he will not be assassinated. He was under Roman guard as soon as he was captured. There was not a moment where he is not, doesn't have any bodyguards. Can you imagine that? You know, if Paul would live alone, he'll be dead because the people wants to kill him. So that is leading up to Felix, and he defend himself in before Felix. He gave his testimony. Paul had a chance to give at least two testimony of how he became a Christian, the great salvation that he has in Jesus Christ and who Jesus is. So he testified before Felix, but nothing come of that. And then after 2 years, Paul was in prison for 2 years. And then and they have a new governor. So this new governor is Festus. So Felix just said, okay, I got a prisoner in jail. And I don't know what's happening. So you decide. So Festus had brought out, and everybody wants to kill him. You know, the priest, the high priest from Jerusalem came over making their case, but nothing is deserving death. So Festus was very confused. What should he do? At that time, King Agrippa, which is just puppet king, you know, come to visit. And so Festus says, okay, this is your countryman. He has this story, and maybe you can give me some idea and hint how to deal with Paul, this case. So Paul, with his second defense, his second testimony before the king, Agrippa, about how he was, how he became a Christian. So before Paul was captured, put on the ship, and take it to Rome, that all these things sort of kind of had its in directions. There is a trending in the hardship on the ship by the soldier. And then, you know, there was a debate on whether they should winter the ship somewhere, but the ship captain decided to go on. That's how they got into the storm. You know, all these circumstances sort of kind of all together as this ship in the storm. a ship in the storm. And you know, I think normal people would just ask, why? Why is this happening? You know, this is not fair, right? I mean, I've been serving the Lord faithfully. And there could be many anxious moments, which the description shows that they're anxious moments. Many, what happened if? What happened if this? What happened if that? Instead, Paul nailed and give thanks. Paul nailed and give thanks. What is there to thank God for? I mean, we already said that, right? The great salvations. And that he often write about that in his letter. And thanking God for accomplishing his work and purpose through him. Even though this is not read, I mean, the scripture just says, he nailed and gave thanks. Even though this is not verbalized, but we have many clues already in his other letters. That's what he thanked God for. And then the calmness. And then he gave thanks. And he leads the crew at this moment to prayer. And then the scripture says that all the crew people, the crew, the sailors were encouraged. And his name is lifted up. His name is lifted up and honored and glorified. Simple prayers. But the circumstances, it's not just the present circumstances. It's all the circumstances. All the snowflakes in his life. That is part of this large weather that God is bringing to Paul. So when we give thanks in all circumstances, it is much more than just the present. It is the past. It is the future. All this is part of God's will for us. And that is the complete thankfulness to God. We recognize through this thanksgiving prayer that God is in charge. God created the weather. He leads us in mysterious way that often we do not see the reason. But we give God thanks by faith that he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things. Romans 8:32. And lastly, Paul asks a rhetorical question in Romans. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? He's answered his own questions in chapter 8, verse 39. Neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of this inseparable love of God, that is why we give thanks to God in all circumstances. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for to show us love, to show us grace, and show us mercy. Continually, Lord, I pray you fill us with these truths. So continually that we give thanks. No matter what happened to us, no matter what happened to us, we know, Lord, that you love us. We know, Lord, that you have forgiven us. We know, Lord, that that you drive us to have these divine character, this giving thanks in all circumstances in us. And we thank you, Lord, for continually working to bring those divine character out. In Jesus' name. Amen.